Welcome to Dramas with a Side of Kimchi, the fangirl party every drama fan wants to join. Grab your kimchi and face masks and let's chat Asian dramas. I'm Drama Geek.
I'm Carrie the Mockney.
I'm K-Drama Jen.
And I'm K-Muse. Don't forget that we have a Patreon page. We have a monthly episode we release exclusively for our patrons. Our patrons also get an exclusive invitation to our Discord server, where we chat daily about the dramas we're watching, participate in group watches, and support each other in our drama addictions. And as always, you can find the link in your show notes.
All right, everyone. Today we are going to be talking about Queen of Tears, just the first four episodes. And in Queen of Tears, Kim Soo-hyun prances across the stage looking amazing in all of his... Oh, wait. No, there's plot. Hold on. Let me just... So, you know, we have Kim, but then we have Kim Soo-hyun, and I've just been waiting for him to come back on my screen. Have loved him forever. So happy that he's just gracing the screen each week. But okay, let's talk plot. So in this, Baek Hyun-woo is the pride of the village of Yongduri. So that's played by Kim Soo-hyun. He's the legal director of the conglomerate Queen's Group, while Chaebol heiress Hong Hae-in, is the queen of Queen's Group's department stores. Queen of Tears tells the miraculous, thrilling, and humorous love story of this married couple who managed to survive a crisis and stay together against all odds. I believe that's from our friends over there at... I actually don't know. Is it
it's
from...
My Drama List.
I was just going to say, our friends at My Drama List.
Yeah.
So this is giving us a little bit, but it really doesn't even quite capture what we're seeing in these first four episodes. So let's talk about that today.
Okay. So of course, we'll begin with our spoiler-free section. Why did we start this drama? I don't remember why I started it. I think it was peer pressure from you all, or we were all just like,
I think you started it because we said we were going to cover it for the podcast.
I was kind of curious. You said it was a podcast. I'm like, that's enough to get me going. So that's probably why I pushed play.
I started because I love this pairing. I thought they had the potential for some really amazing chemistry, and that was pretty much it. I do like the writer as well, but for the most part, it was this pairing and just wanting to see. I don't know. I'm trying to think of the last Kim Soo-hyun drama I watched. Was it?
It's okay to not be okay.
Yeah. So it's been a while. I just needed to see him on my screen and check out this pairing because they look visually amazing together.
And I also am watching it definitely for Kim Soo-hyun. I pushed play because we are doing this podcast because I've been working a lot, so it's been hard to start any of the new stuff. So it gave me that little extra push to get my butt in gear and watch the four episodes. I don't think I did it all yesterday. I think I watched three yesterday and then one the day before. So spread out over 2 days, but I got in. So.
Woohoo.
I know.
So I'll say for me, this is one I've been waiting for it to come out. As I said, I'm a big Kim Soo-hyun fan. My very first piece of like K-drama swag was a cup that had his face on it. So just saying. definitely happy that he's on the screen. I've already talked about that though. So let me just say that why did I want to watch it? Partly for him, partly because the female lead in this was a second lead in Descendants of the Sun. I really liked her in a lot of different things. So they are visually stunning together. And then the writer is from Crash Landing on You. And we have a lot of listeners who kind of that was their gateway drama. And so, having an opportunity to see what this writer comes up with this time, I think is kind of interesting. And you can see that there's a long history of, you know what? That's going to be our next question. So I probably should have looked ahead.
It's yours.
But I will say that But that is actually one of the reasons why I started watching. And since that is the question for this question, it's a legit thing to say, which is a great segue into our next question.
So, are we a fan of Park Ji-yoon's drama? And I feel like it's a yes probably for everybody. So Crash Landing on You, The Legend of the Blue Sea, The Producers, which is actually the first time that this this is going to be the third time that our leading man has worked with this writer. I just realized that she does like to work with maybe this is she likes him apparently. Like
My Love from Another Star.
Yeah, so My Love from Another Star, The Producers, and then this one are all the same male lead and then this writer. But so I don't know. My husband got a family, Queen of Reversals and Queen of Housewives. Apparently she has a theme as well. She likes the word queen. are all her that I haven't seen at the earlier ones. I don't think I've seen. So My Love from Another Star was my first drama with her. So it was probably at the time that one came out was my favorite drama at the time. Like I loved her take on a female lead. We had a lot of candy girls up until that point that were, you know, demure and like not like they were feisty, but they were pure. They were feisty and pure. And then from her that she tends to have female leads who just, it might be a little bit more, a lot of them can be rich and maybe need, you know, a little bit of warming up to, I would say, because I was definitely with the female lead from My Love from Another Star and then the Queen of Tears and a tiny bit from Crash Landing on You. I feel like we warmed up to her pretty quickly. Probably once she dropped into North Korea, we were all on her side. But so yeah, I'm a big fan of hers. I love her stuff. This one did not hook me right away, so I'm interested to see if the rest of the drama really is her style and like pulls all the things that she's really good at into it. So
yeah, and I have to admit I'm a very big fan. I think I've pretty much liked everything she's done. I think, I know this will be controversial, I'm going to say that Crash Landing on You is maybe my fourth favorite out of her shows that she's done before. I enjoyed it. I just wasn't as swooning as hard as a lot of other people were, I feel. So it'll be interesting to see where this one lands in that rating system I have. But yeah, I like her dialogue. She has really great dialogue. A lot of witty one-liners from her leads. Very memorable, quirky moments that just help move the story along. They're not just quirky for the sake of being quirky. And I'm definitely seeing all of those aspects so far in the first four episodes of this show.
Yeah, for me, also definitely a fan. Just like Drama Geek, when My Love from Another Star came out, I just fell for it so much. Like, I just loved it. Of course, I loved Kim Soo Hyun, but I also just love the way this writer has been able to take the rich chaebol heiress, and usually they start out in a way that I'm not exactly sure if I'm going to like them. They seem to be pretty like, they're very privileged. They have that kind of coldness to them, but usually they're misunderstood. And, you know, like at least three of those dramas I can think of, with Crash Landing on You, with My Love from Another Star, and this one, that leading lady sort of takes a bit. But I know to wait. I know to like just reserve judgment and hear the whole story, because usually I end up on their side like, oh, that makes sense now. And that's kind of where I am. We're in the first four episodes. That's exactly where I am right now. Because in the first, at least the first episode, I wasn't quite sure about this leading lady, but we're four episodes in and I kind of like her. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I'm a big fan of this writer's dramas.
Okay, so you guys aren't allowed to pile on me because you've piled on me before and it's just a difference in taste. But the only two dramas I've seen from Park Ji-yoon are My Love from Another Star and Crash Landing on You. And so I'm kind of half and half. There were several aspects of My Love from Another Star that I really liked. And then Crash Landing on You was just, it was fantastic. And the ending just blew me away. I think probably the struggle I had with My Love from Another Star is just the ending was not as satisfying as I wanted it to be. And that definitely changed in Crash Landing on You. That was, mostly, hold on a second, thinking through. I'm thinking of the second lead's ending. It was very noble and very, yeah. No, the OTP's ending was still not totally satisfying. So we'll see where this go, because I prefer my dramas to have a very solid landing, a solid future for the OTP. And so...
Not a crash landing?
Yeah, no. Or My Love from Another Star. Trying not to spoil, but you know.
I mean,
there's some separations there.
Yeah.
So... Anyway, so we'll see. But like you said, I mean, she writes very memorable female characters. And if you go through kind of the casts in your head, you know, she's kind of got this set of characters, like Kim, you said. But it's going to be fun to see what she does with this set. And I mean, if nothing else, I love seeing the cast that they've brought together. And one of my favorite secondary actors, is that what you call him? Kwak Dong-yong. He was the little brother in Vincenzo.
Yeah.
I really like him. He's really obnoxious here. But for the most part, you know, I like his part. So we'll see where this goes.
All right. So as always, we need to chat cinematography and styling.
Oh, my favorite. Can't wait. Sorry.
Hey, I will say that K-Drama Jen actually had outside comments about it while we were just watching and like texting each other. So that's more than 99% other dramas when it comes to her. So, you know it has to be good. But I'm really loving the colors that they're using. And it's not so much even their clothes. A lot of time you'll get the colors in the clothes or what they're wearing or you know, their rooms will be really bright pops. But in this one, there's a lot of tans and muted colors. But then they have all the artwork or the dresses or like it'll be suddenly you have that pop of color, but it's not actually on the leads. And I find that really interesting because that is definitely something that usually we have the opposite. I mean, they're very stylized clothes, but it's a lot of creams. It's a lot of tans, browns, blacks, whites. It's not a lot of color. And so I really find it interesting how the director is pulling color into the drama, even if the art is ugly as heck and I would never, ever buy it. It always catches my eye and I find it a very interesting choice that the director has made. And again, with the styling, like she wears some gorgeously architectural clothes, but it's not the color that's bringing your eye. It's almost like the design and the architecture of the outfits rather than just the color or, oh, wow, those are stunning, you know. So I really like that they're going in a very different route than a lot of shows previously have gone.
Yeah, I mean, so of course, I always like to comment on cinematography. Just kidding. But this time I really did. I texted, I think it was Drama Geek and K-Muse at the same time, because I think I was starting it a little bit before them. And so, yeah, I was, because it was before our last podcast that we did. So anyway, I jumped in, watched it on that Saturday morning as soon as it dropped. And that was the first thing I noticed, was the way that the colors were kind of... the director was using color, but also just the way it was being filmed. It just felt very, I can't just, you know, I don't have the right words for it. I can just tell you how it made me feel, right? And so it drew me right in with that part of it. The characters, it took a little bit longer for me to kind of get drawn to them. But it's from the very beginning, just the way it was filmed, I thought it was lovely. And we have a situation in this drama that that the director is using some different kinds of techniques to kind of show what's happening inside one of the characters' heads. And I really think that's kind of cool too. And I know we're spoiler free, so I can't tell you what that situation is, but I can tell you that I think they're doing a good job with it.
Oh, same. That caught my eye immediately. I was just like, those transitions, like not knowing what is what, and that's all I can say there. But yeah, those, that's pretty spectacular because you get a real sense of what's going on. And I, yeah, everything is just kind of timeless and classic. Like, it, I wouldn't say it's hard to pinpoint a period that they're dressed in, because obviously you can, but like, she's at one point she's wearing this dress from 1982, and I'm like, that's not the 80s I remember. That's actually really nice. So unless she had shoulder pads, and then maybe, but I, yeah. Anyway, but yeah, so that's just, it's been kind of, it's almost like a feast for the eyes in a way, except not a feast. It's very calming and very, very serene compared to the action that's going on, except for that grand piano. And I've only seen it in the background, but it looks like somebody splashed it with paint, and that just drives me nuts. Because that's, yeah, anyway.
So I felt like the way that they started the first episode, and then kind of the feeling that you guys are talking about, that's hard to describe. I feel like it's a very like royal family setup. Like it the way that, though, royal family, but then you see kind of the other side where they're like, they were made royal out of nowhere. Like they found somebody, and they're not like garish or anything, but it's just this, it's this weird where it's kind of like you can kind of see the cracks behind the facade a little bit, but there's this calm royal, like I think even the was it the memorial dinner where all the men are fixing the ceremonial food and all that kind of stuff, like it really just had this feeling of like you're stepping into the royal family, and you know, the all of the duties and the, you know, the way that you present yourself, and him coming into that type of family, which I know like the Chabel family a lot of times has that super rich feel to it, but I think with the color tones that they're choosing and the way they're filming it, it kind of just has that, like that feel to it where it's just a little bit more heightened instead of just being, oh, they're a super rich family that has everything that they want kind of thing. And also I think maybe because of like, he kind of feels like he's their butler sometimes. So it gives that type of feeling to it where he came in and he didn't have any royal blood in him, and he had to kind of come in and do all of whatever they wanted him to do type of thing. And so that's my thoughts on like the cinematography and the way they have it all set up.
So I feel like this is kind of a leading question. what do we like or dislike about the basic setup? So the basic setup, right, is the premise is that we have this hot Kim Soo Hyun who is a lawyer for this big conglomerate company, and he first meets her. I think this is fine to be in the spoiler-free section because this is important to know. He first meets her when he doesn't know that she is the Chaebol heiress. And so what's interesting about this is that you kind of see in the very beginning, like this sweet, these, I mean, they're kind of sweet moments. I still wasn't 100% like I was sure what he saw in her, but fine. So, but he starts this relationship not knowing who she is. And he ends up basically wanting to take care of her and wanting to marry her. And then we find out that after he marries her, like he finds out who she is, and he actually tried to call off the wedding, which I think is an important piece. So we have this setup where he was, you know, very highly educated. He worked his way up. He in a normal kind of everyday situation, he would be considered very successful. But he ends up marrying into this family where he is treated as if he was like a gold digger. And all of the, it seems like all of the men that have married into the family are treated sort of like they are, you know, not quite on par with everybody else. And so we see a lot of scenes of him like basically catering to this big family. And it kind of bothers me because I really like him and I don't want him doing all that. But I would say that just in general, it's a typical basic setup, right? It's that we have sort of the reverse of the poor girl who married into the rich family, and she's, you know, seen as the gold digger kind of thing. And in this case, we have a man who's married into the family, and he's just not treated like he's on the same level. So that's kind of, you know, from the basics, it looks like it's pretty formulaic. It's all of the nuance that makes it different. And we'll have to talk about that later.
After spoilers. We have so much we're saving. So what I like about the basic setup is at least we get it really fast. So there is something to say for the tropes, because we get a handle on the situation pretty quickly. But at the same time, what I don't like is the heaviest trope that we're leaning on is a lack of communication creating conflict. And I hate that so much. That is probably my least favorite conflict trope. So that's all. That's where I stand.
I'm stuck on the that he tried to call the wedding off. I don't remember that happening in the episodes I watched, but maybe I'm just forgetting that part. I don't know.
Oh, remember anyway. When he was, I'll just remind you, he was in bed and he wouldn't take her phone calls and all of that because he found out who she was.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. So, and that's where we're getting like piece by piece. So we start, the premise is we start with 3 years into their marriage, and they do not stay in the same room. They barely even talk. He's not petrified of her being mad at him, but he, you know, he definitely just doesn't want to be mad at her to be mad at him, doesn't want to even like really talk to her. And he's pretty fed up and like, is done with his everyday life. Like it's a very hard situation for him. So we have to kind of backtrack and see all of the clips of like, why did they even fall in love? Like, why are they together? And then we also get pieced in of like, what happened to turn them from her marrying somebody who her family would not approve of to now they don't even want to even speak to one another. So I feel like they set up the like, why would he want to run away from her and get away from this family as much as possible? And we needed that because of stuff we can't talk about right now. That would be spoilers, but we needed to see how bad that it was for him to kind of understand his character and his actions and everything. She took a little bit longer to get to like understand why she, you know, why she's acting the way she's acting and why he would have ever loved her or even thought she was a good person, like or at all. You know, it takes a while. So I like that, like the Magne said, where we were able to kind of get the establishment of like their relationship, where it sits right now, her horrible family. And then now we're kind of going to go back and see how what failed in the relationship and how they got to where they are. And then of course, then they're going to move us forward into how they're going to reconcile and repair their marriage. So I don't know if that's really like or dislike, but I like that they're showing us that they established it early and then we're kind of getting back to, and by the episode 4, they've done a good enough job that I'm invested in them repairing their marriage. Episode 1, 100%, I wanted him to run as far as he possibly could away from her and her family.
See, and I'm like, there are so many tropes that I'm not a fan of usually in this show. Like, again, as you were talking about the almost the second chance romance trope, I'm not a fan. I'm like, if you are toxic enough that you divorced, I don't want to see you get back together, to be perfectly honest. You know, it's not a trope I enjoy. I don't find it overly romantic a lot of times, but they just barely manage to like miss that trope just the teeniest bit. So it feels like it's almost like an ongoing relationship rather than the second chance aspect, even though it pretty much is a second chance. But the dialogue and the characters have kept me from getting too cranky about that. There's another trope that is in there that I definitely am not a fan of. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say what it is because that would be the spoiler.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is in some of the synopsises, but it wasn't in the one that we read, so I'm not going to say it. And that trope, which I will discuss once we are in spoiler territory, is the one that definitely would have kept me from watching the drama if we hadn't said we were going to review it. So far, I'm liking how it's connecting the couple back together. I'm not sure I'm going to like how they resolve it, because this is kind of one of those tricky tropes that's hard to resolve in a positive way.
Yeah.
And so we will see what happens with that.
Our OTP, on fire, lukewarm, or ice cold when it comes to chemistry. Personally, I think that they have sparks here and there, but because the setup is making it to where they're not supposed to be like on fire, they're having to like, you know, rekindle some of that, or you want to be able to see like, well, where was it? Was it ever there in the first place? Like there was a couple moments where I was like, okay, they're acting like they never consummated the marriage. Like, did they not? Like, what is going on here? As actors, they have good chemistry, especially, and this is where this writer is good, in their dialogue, in their back and forth, in when they're with each other. So far, the most chemistry comes from him just responding to her and being just ridiculous and funny. And I love that he really does seem to be embracing that in this role of mm-hmm. like just being not overly silly or anything, but just that comedic break that you need from like, because the family is so horrible in a lot of scenes, and then he does whatever he does and you're just like, oh my God, she's so funny. So I think they have a huge potential for being a really great couple when it comes to chemistry, but I think it's going to be doled out a little bit at a time because that's just the nature of this type of drama.
I think I have to completely agree with you. The actors themselves have really good chemistry. They're playing off each other really well. Again, I'm like really surprised at how funny I'm finding him, because he often does the very much more either soft and sweet or soft and traumatized roles. And so he doesn't have a lot of really funny characters and that he's played back in the day. I'm trying to think of what any
Dream High.
But even that was more soft and sweet than comedic.
That's true. Yeah. That's
it
true.
Wasn't a comedy. It was like angsty and sweet and, you know, like heartwarming, but it's not funny.
Well, his wig was funny.
Same with It's Okay to Not Be Okay. You know, let's see. He's done some funny cameos, but not necessarily. And even like My Love from the Star, he was the straight man for all of it. He wasn't the
for
comedy
sure.
focus. Same with Moon Embracing the Sun. Total angst.
Yeah.
No comedy. and of course, Giant,
angst.
Will It Snow for Christmas, all of those are very angsty, dramatic roles. So I think this is the first show that I've seen where he's quirky and kind of funny. Like,
yeah, I think
there's
you might
multiple
be right.
scenes of him just like angsting and drunk that are hilarious.
Yeah.
And usually I find that kind of scene annoying, but he was so funny. And it's just like, oh, he can be hilarious. Who knew? And so I'm really enjoying that a lot. I would say they have really good chemistry. And I think as a romantic couple, they're going to be very like hot chemistry eventually. So
agreed.
I can see definitely where it's going to go steamier. And I thought their chemistry at the end of 2, beginning of 3 was really good. There's a scene that happens that I thought that was really good and swoony between them. So, yeah.
So when I think about chemistry, like, you know, I just need to say that he has amazing chemistry with me I'm fully on board. I feel it. I would say that that's on fire for sure. And I also just, it's not exactly a spoiler because you've already mentioned it, that they're at a point, you know, when we first meet them as a couple, that they have like separate bedrooms. And this is where I feel like it's complete fiction. There's no way that she could see that, see him come out in his towel and not be very interested in, you know, kicking down his door. I'm just saying. So
he is hot. His body is very attractive.
Just saying that I feel that it's really unrealistic that she would like go into her room and close her door. No way. Anyway, back to their chemistry. Agree that they have amazing chemistry as actors. There's a few scenes where they kind of look back and you can just feel like this could really be good if we can get them to reconnect. And I think we're going to move to the on fire side of things. Right now it's sparks, but they have so much potential. That's my feeling.
Same. So lukewarm now, potential for fire later.
I thought you were saying same, that you also feel the chemistry.
No, that's your menagerie and I'm leaving that alone. All right. Can we go into spoilers now? Because I'm kind of dying to go into spoilers.
We're going into spoilers.
All right.
Let's do it.
Okay. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how much are the two extended families annoying us? So for his family, it's probably a 9 because of his siblings. Is that his sister and his brother or his brother and his sister-in-law?
I'm not sure, but they are annoying.
I think it's his sister and brother-in-law.
Yeah.
I think it's her husband and then brother. They've got the kid.
Okay. The only one likable is the kid.
Yeah, so far. And then on her side, her family is like a 15. They're all terrible. I mean, when you have lawsuits against each other on purpose to undermine each other in this business that you own together, bad. So
probably because I like the actor, and I mean, he's kind of an idiot. He's a bumbling idiot. And he's actually not the nicest person, but I enjoy watching her brother kind of mess things up and not be that great of a businessman and a part of the family. But then also his dynamic with his wife is kind of interesting because she's definitely playing him.
Oh, yeah.
And acting like she... And then here's where I feel like they're doing a good job of that royal family feel of like... I don't know, I'm not even convinced that her background is what she's telling him of like she grew up in the U.S. or whatever. I think she grew up like out in the country, you know, like she grew up somewhere outside of Seoul and probably honed her accent to make sure she doesn't sound like she's from there. But like her brother ended up making an error on the taxes that was like $8 billion or something like that. It's ridiculous. Yeah. So like... She definitely like curated this image to get him to fall for her and be able to be a part of their family. But I enjoy their dynamic and watching them. I don't necessarily like them as people. And I kind of find the dad and his, they're not married. It's his girlfriend, right? I don't know. Like, I feel like she's also totally put one over on him and that like she's trying to get something out of him. So I found them extremely annoying in the first and second episode. Third and fourth episode, I feel like there's layers of like what's going on and who is conning who and all of that stuff that could be interesting to watch unfold. I still think they're super annoying. And his family, I really wish the writer hadn't made them so like, it feels like though he's not out for like the money of their family and their image and all that stuff, that his family kind of is. And I kind of wish that they were they had their own thing and they were comfortable in their little small town and that they were like an oasis for him and then eventually for them as a couple or something. But I just don't feel that. They're just kind of like, could we skip these scenes? I actually skipped through some of the scenes in episode 4 where the dad and the all of the town. And then I'm like, oh,
I
okay,
totally
this
did
actually
too.
Pulls into Same. The rest of the story. I see why they're there and she's going to come and I, okay.
Yeah.
And I stopped fast forwarding, but for a minute, I was fast forwarding. Mostly because this writer has been just released into the wild and gets to do her episodes as long as she wants and really needs to be reined back in. And it's like, you don't have to put so much into it. We could take out a couple of
things. I don't
even
notice those. I don't even notice the length. And I was like, oh yeah, these are the ones that Jen said were super long, but then she's watching like
Jen likes them because she can play them during a certain period of time and they fit just perfectly. But for me, I'm like, it's an hour and a half. It's an hour and a half. Like, I can handle an hour and a half sometimes depending on the story, but Crash Landing on You was a great story that almost was ruined for me because the episodes were so long. And I can handle longer episodes if I feel like it's necessary to tell the story. And that's where I think this writer needs to be pulled in a little bit to like be a little bit more concise.
Agreed. They are feeling a little bloated.
Yeah.
Oh, I did want to say I like his mom. She's like the most rational out of all of them.
Yeah. She's concerned about him and seems to care about like that he might not be happy and she would be okay if he divorced and all that kind of stuff. But everybody else is like, no, just stay in it because we need all the things that it provides.
We need the money.
Yeah.
It's really annoying. They annoy me so much more than the rich family does. Like so much more. It's just like, oh my word, shut up.
Yeah.
Anyway, I find random things, moments from the rich family kind of entertaining. And not, again, they're not great people, but they have some witty dialogue off and on through the show, and so that keeps me going with them. One of my favorite scenes was the dad saying, oh, you don't have to have children right away, and then he's already being like, but I need to like see what insert name by such and such a time, and right. They're like, who?
What?
And he's like, well, that's what you're gonna call your daughter. And well, so and it's now, just like
now like, knowing oh, what no. we know. Like, but now that we've watched all 4 episodes, we're in the spoiler section, knowing what we know about like their past and probably what caused them to pull apart. Like their ability to have kids is none of your business and you need to leave them alone. And that, but it was funny. I definitely was laughing when that scene happened.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's just like, so out of, you're just like, did he seriously just name their kid for him? Yeah. And he did. Yeah. So,
well, I think that is a tradition in Asian cultures, is that not the parents, but like the grandparents name the baby sometimes.
Okay. I've never seen it before. So I can't recall a drama ever where the grandparents were the name.
Yeah.
I think I've seen it more in Chinese dramas, but I swear I've seen it in some obscure K drama somewhere. It's been too long. But anyway, I have seen it before.
Okay. But yeah, but that was just like out of. Yeah, that seemed like such a entitled rich parent thing to do.
let's scale of 1 to 10, how much they annoy me. No, I think that the episodes, it's not necessarily the family, although I will say the sister and brother-in-law, like texting her about the divorce or whatever was so out of line. I just wanted to smack them. And I will say that I agree that sometimes the episodes do get a little bloated. Although wheels up to wheels down, it's the perfect amount of time for my my flight commute. So I can download one episode, start watching the minute I get in my seat, and the minute we land, I'm done with my episode. So perfect. So it would be inconvenient for me if we were to edit it anymore, just saying. And you know, it is all about me apparently, so
Kim Soo Hyun, you couldn't have any
that's
less
right
of
oh I would just love, but I will say I like Kwak Dong Yeon's character. I can't help it, I think I just like him as an actor, but And I've liked him since he was the Love in the Moonlight bodyguard. So, and then my friend, who's an author, wrote a story and he was inspiration. And so I just have a soft spot for him. And even if he's obnoxious in this show, I still like him. So he doesn't annoy me as much as everybody else. But a lot of the other ones really annoy me. It's even like the crazy aunt who
she's
like was
really
in jail
annoying.
And I don't know. But she had some funny moments, like where she talks about his arms and
but then she just goes too far. And
know,
or
but
she's
like,
used too much.
Yeah.
But I was like, same, you know, when she was noting that, I was like, yeah, I agree. Like, I like it. He could roll up his sleeves a little more. So, all right. Anyway.
Well, there was the one part where the crazy aunt was breaking up that wedding. And once you learn it was her ex-husband and her secretary, I was like, honestly, legit. I think she's allowed to lose her mind right there.
All right. So what was our favorite comedic moment so far? I did enjoy that dad scene. I think for me, where he's going to the therapist and we get that cameo from It's Okay to Be Okay. Oh my word. It, just him describing his life and how every single moment and aspect of his existence is surrounded with this family. And of course, them being able to control everything he does. Even with the bodyguards that go up and down and stop him. Like, all of it, it was just so funny. And just, like, you know, the poor therapist is trying to give him, like, advice. And every time he gives an advice, like, no, I can't go to work because my wife is my boss. You know, like, that whole scene was such a fun cameo and really fun.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of comedic moments. It's sort of, for me, I looking back, like, they may be, like, it might be funnier on a rewatch because I'm still trying to figure out, like, which part of this is, I don't know how much to, I don't know, there's just some questions I have. So, like, it is kind of funny the way he has reacted to, like, when he's doing his research on, you know, survival rates or whatever, and then she thinks that he's, you know, really wants to save her or whatever. Like, there are some, it's like a dark humor. It's not like laugh out loud funny, and it, we'll see kind of where that goes. The funnier moments are like when he goes and gets drunk and he's just like bemoaning his life. And he's just so ridiculous. Those have been funny comedic moments, but it's his portrayal of it in the way he's able to just kind of, he has these moments where he's just hilarious. Like, it's the way that he's doing it that's making me laugh. I don't know if it would be quite as funny if it wasn't acted in that way.
Because it's kind of, it's got a sincerity to it or a genuineness to it. And it's not slapstick. It could easily go into slapstick, but because he's reining it in, it's funnier. Like, even, because my favorite part is when he ran outside and was just running outside screaming his head off. Because, you know, how many of us have done that in our own minds? And he's literally doing it. But it's just because there is this just genuine intention behind it. I don't know how to explain it. It's just, it lacks that wink, wink, nudge, nudge, and it makes it all the better.
I think a good moment that kind of portrays the way the comedy is working is like when he tries to get her phone and erase the message, and he's trying like the different like passcodes, and he's trying, he cannot get it. And he finally gets it, and then he has to leave. Or he doesn't have to leave. I mean, you're in your wife's bedroom. I'm sure there are plenty of things that you could think of to distract her so she didn't know that you were messing with her phone. Because that's the whole thing, is that whole comedic moment and the way he's playing it and everything is followed by him going back to his bedroom by himself, and then him saying, I can't believe her passcode is 1031.
Yeah.
And then you find out that that was her due date. That never came to pass. And then they show the one little star and he's actually staying in what should have been the baby's room.
Oh, and no.
So again, it's comedic. It's dark because, you know, he's like literally trying to stay with her long enough for her to die so that he can still come out of this marriage and not be totally like ripped of all of the things that he's gotten used to. Cause he's not, I don't think he's necessarily trying to leave it with money or anything. I think he's just trying to leave it where he's not absolutely decimated by this family. Cause you know, if he tries to divorce her, they're going to probably make it really hard for him to like find a job and all that kind of stuff. So, but he plays that so hilariously the whole thing of trying to get her phone and then, you know, all of that. And then to find out like that her passcode is still that. Leading into a very good pulling back of like what happened to this couple, and you can kind of see it. So I find that this writer knows him well enough that, because I feel like the producers, he also had a bit of this type of comedy in that one. And so I do think that she, because he definitely played the straighter character in My Love from the Stars, where he wasn't necessary, although he did have a funny phone thing in that where he was trying to like do his little alien powers or whatever and jump in and out and get the phone back so he could. I don't remember what he sent her. He sent her some text where it was revealing a little bit too much of his feelings or whatever. But so I think that this writer knows him well enough that she knows he's pulling these off to where it's just the right amount. It's the family, especially his family, that the comedy is a little bit where it's not quite done as well as it could be. But that, you know, his comedy, when he's being trying to run away from his family, that's when it's funny.
Agree. Well, we have several swoony OTP moments. Is there enough swoon, and which moment is our favorite? Look, there's never enough swoon for me. I feel like we need to like amp this up just a little bit, but where we are in the story, I can see. And like I said, it took me a couple of episodes to even really care about them as a couple, maybe even three. And it's the looking back moments where you see some really sweet moments, like when he's right outside her window and she said something about like, well, you could sleep in here. And he like basically falls over himself to get in there. And they, you know, right. And they reminisce about how they used to sleep in one bed, in like a twin size bed. And that was, in its own way, was swoony. And I also thought it was really swoony when he bought her the sneakers, because outwardly he's like, oh no, you know, she can't die before she's supposed to die. Right. Like, like it's this weird thing. Right. And so, but also it's like he really does care about her, and so he did this. It was quite sweet. And of course he picked her up and carried her, and that was very swoony. So is there enough swoon? Not quite, but I think we're gonna get there, and I would like to see a lot more. I'd also like the fact that I would like us to have an angsty shower scene where he's not wearing a towel, just saying.
He wasn't wearing a towel during the shower. It was on after the shower. I've paid very
close attention. Okay, I'm just referring back to the fact that when we were in My Love from Another Star, he was doing an angsty shower scene with a towel on.
He was. And so anyone who hasn't seen that wouldn't know what we're talking about. But yeah.
All the more reason y'all should go watch it.
Mm-hmm. Right. All right. For me, I think there won't be enough soon, just because the story is not in place for that right now. So we're going to, if it's done right, we'll get the swoon at the end, hopefully in the middle. But yeah, not right now. So I'm kind of okay with how much we have currently. But I was just, when they're out hunting, the whole family is out hunting, and he comes out of nowhere and shoots the boar that's charging his wife. Like, just complete competence, and just takes aim and fires. And I was just like, oh, because A, he's defending his wife, even though he doesn't want to be with his wife. And I'm like, I love the hidden motives there that all of a sudden showed up when he was like, oh, I need to save her. And then his, just because he's been kind of subtly, or not so subtly, sabotaging the hunt the whole way through. But then for him to actually be skilled enough to stop this charging boar with one shot. It was kind of cool and kind of swoony. I love the protective moments. So that was it for me.
Competence is hot. It really is. Like, it's the same.
Well, and I love that he put himself in between her and the boar. It wasn't that he just shot it. It is he put himself in danger to make sure she was protected. And that's what was swoony. It wasn't just, oh, I could shoot this animal, you know, because really he could have stood and shot it from a distance, but he made sure that if he missed, she was safe or safer, you know.
Yeah, as safe as you can be with a boar charging at you.
Yeah.
So I really liked when she was walking by him in, he was in a meeting. And he was like talking to everybody and he was smiling and he was being just his like normal, more relaxed self. And she's by the time she's finished walking by, she's almost sideways and almost falling over because
she's trying to watch him.
Like, well, and I don't know who her assistant is married to, but her assistant doesn't have a good marriage either. Like she's all clearly. Like, no, you wouldn't know. There's something wrong with you. And she's like, but what about like, wouldn't they want to like all of a sudden just do something with their husband because he's hot? And it's like, I mean, if you had that and you loved your husband. Yeah. So I find it swoony each time they're kind of realizing again, like that whole, oh, I'm actually attracted to this person. And they are somebody that kind of draws me in. And he was definitely drawing her in at that moment. And it was kind of fun to watch because she also has that exterior where she doesn't let it down very often. And so she was very vulnerable at that moment and very just raw of like, he's hot. And I'm noticing that. So, yeah.
So side characters, we've already talked about annoying families, but now we're going to talk about, oh wait, favorite and least favorite side characters. We've got both aspects there. So my favorite side character, I think it's a tough choice. I'd have to either go with the crazy aunt or with his mom, because one is rational and one is completely irrational. And well, and then crazy aunt in episode 4, she gets clingy with her dad and has the weird Burger King crown. And I don't know what was going on there.
It was because it was her birthday. She was the princess.
Oh. Must have fast-forwarded a little too much. Okay, so she had the birthday crown, but it was still a Burger King crown. I'm just telling you, I had childhood flashbacks there. And then my least favorite is actually his best friend, because his best friend feels... I mean, I know he's kind of reminding him of his original purpose in getting divorced and getting just some of the money. But he feels almost as grasping as the brother-in-law with the focus on the money rather than on him. If that makes sense.
He doesn't annoy me just because I feel like he's a good, like he can't talk to anybody else and he's able to talk to this guy. And I mean, he feels like when he realizes he might still be in love with her, he's not doing it as redirecting him of like, hey, then you can like be rich again. But like you maybe have feelings for her and maybe you need to that. Like, I feel like they do it for a comedic reason, but one, if I was his best friend, I would have advised him to run away from them. Mm-hmm. But I can understand him wanting to walk away from the situation and not walk away completely empty-handed and not have a career or any of that kind of stuff. So I can see his motives and I find them fun together because he doesn't really get to be just himself with anybody else. So I like those moments, especially when there's the guards around somewhere and they like pop up out of nowhere. And aren't those two guys from Crash Landing? Mm-hmm. Or at least one of them from Crash. Yeah, they're both, because like one of them was like the assistant or something like that for her. And then the other guy was one of the soldiers or something, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But like they're funny when they pop up and he's talking to him. So I like it for what it provides, like his scenes for what it provides the character. Sorry. I didn't list my side character that I like or favorite, least favorite, but he's not my favorite. I can just see why he's important to his story. So which side character is my favorite? I'm trying to even I don't know. I don't know if I have. And that's where I feel like this might, this show might not be as enjoyable as some of her others, because I don't know that this show has cultivated and not the Chinese kind of cultivating, but they're not trying to become from a chicken to a person. But that, I don't know if the side characters have been developed and created in a way that we're going to end up really loving, like the ensemble cast. Whereas in a lot of the other dramas that this writer has done, I've found many characters that I've just really loved. So I'm not sure I have a favorite side character at this time, and I will leave it to maybe there will be a favorite side character later. I think my least favorite side character is what we're going to talk about next. And so I will leave that to talk about in our next question and let other people say their least favorite.
For me, my least favorite probably is going to be part of this whole future one, but the matchmaking lady is really annoying.
Mine too.
I hate her. Right. I don't like her. She's annoying. She's not a good character whatsoever. There's ways you can make a good suck up comedic character, and she's not it. I think my favorite character, I like the nephew, where he cons her into letting him get a ride around in her car. If he'll shut up.
Oh,
I like that.
He's cute. Yes,
yeah.
He's
and he's
cute.
All like trying to trigger, like, what's the dog name? Ha ha, there is no dog. And I like that aspect of it, as well as giving her insight that maybe she hasn't paid attention to her husband at all. Mm-hmm. And so I really like that moment.
My least favorite you've just named, which is the matchmaking lady. I don't even know why she's there. I think she's obnoxious. I actually think there's too many scheming, like, side character family members. Mm-hmm. I will say, we're only four episodes in. So sometimes the things gel a little bit later. But I just don't see us loving any of them. And you know, we can come back and I will correct myself if I'm wrong. But I just, it's not really my favorite side character. Probably is, the dog, in the one episode. I'm pretty sure it's Snowball, who was from,
like the flowers
wrestling
and sand.
Like flowers in the sand. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Snowball, who has gotten loose, and now they want to shoot him. So I'm just saying, that's my favorite side character, because I don't really like any of the others. All right, I do like the nephew, though. He's cute.
He's cute. All right, so I saved my least favorite for this question, because it's bad guy, effective, or is he, they, a dud? And I'm like kind of sad, because so the childhood or high school sweetheart or whatever, like, they knew each other and he pursued her and she just wasn't as interested in, and they didn't get together, but it's played by Park Sung-hoon. And I really like him when he plays characters that are likable. He also is really good at playing some slimy characters, so I get it. But, like, just this last year, he played a character in Not Others, and I really enjoyed his cop character in that. But he's so over-the-top obvious that, like, I'm going to swoop in and, like, try to steal her, but he's got all these ulterior motives, and then they're meeting up in hotel rooms, and my laundry is done. And don't know if you heard that.
No, it didn't come to at all.
Well, I can't imagine my husband, like, my family is watching MotoGP motorcycle racing, and like the announcer is so freaking loud, and I cannot believe that you guys can't hear it.
we can't.
Oh my god! Yeah,
not
it's
even
a
little.
Anyway, okay, yep. That's good. That is good. Sorry, recording on a race weekend. This is just what we have to do. But I wish that their scheming, all that, felt as smart as Where in contrast, you have this scene with her dad and the girlfriend or whatever, and they're playing a game against each other. And you can see quietly how much she's plotted against him in whatever her big scheme is, just to maybe be there in general and be his. I think she has a bigger ulterior motive, master plan. So I feel like her and then the brother's wife, who has also done her own scheming to get in there, you can tell. I think they're better at having being the bad guy than these other very obvious, mustache twirling, sitting over in their hotel room plotting against the whole family. And I'm sure they're probably gonna try to take them down, and then the main couple are probably gonna have to help dad and everybody, recover. I don't know. Who knows where the story's going, but his character, not the actor, but his character is probably my least favorite, because I can't understand why she doesn't see how slimy he's being when he's with her. He's just, I just don't like him at all. I just don't like him.
Yeah, it's the one aspect where it definitely seems like I'm okay her not realizing that her husband has ulterior motives, because she's going through a traumatic experience and she is really urging for some support. And so she'll take it, even though it's a little suspect. But with him, it's all he is so obviously sketchy, and she just acts oblivious. She just kind of blinks anytime anyone's what's going on? Or when her husband's don't let him touch your hair. You know, you got to be equal opportunity to everyone who touches your hair. You got to be mean.
I mean, she did get that he was jealous, so that was what was important to her.
Yeah. But I'm not sure she understood how jealous, because, oh my word, he went so extreme. Where he's standing outside the dining room, staring through these floor-length windows, not at all unobvious.
He's
well, and she doesn't see him, and it's just oh my word. But yeah, the bad guys is just I'm comparing him to My Love from Another Star bad guy. Shin Sung-ruk was so scary. Him and his twirling ring.
Yes.
To this day, I can still have that image stuck in my head of him using his ring as a fidget spinner kind of thing.
Asking if your family is well.
Yes. Yeah. It was so creepy.
Do they need a
checkup? And just in comparison, this guy's creepy light.
They try to shoot a dog.
Yeah. And they try to make it look like he's a psychopath because he killed dogs when he was a kid. But what they're saying isn't coming across with the visuals and the actions, I guess.
Yeah.
It's just not gelling for me.
Yeah. I mean, so he can be a really great bad guy, right? In The Glory, he was fabulous.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And so I feel like we've got a couple of things going on. He's serving the purpose of being kind of the, not a true second lead, but, allowing our male lead, our Kim Soo Hyun, to feel jealousy and to kind of and he's totally hamming it up, and he's taking advantage as much as he can to really stir that up. And so in that sense, he's that level of bad guy, he's fine. He's actually doing a good job with that. But as far as trying to, scheme behind the scenes and take over the company and do all these, basically plot to possibly help murder somebody. It was somebody peeled back that fence, right? And, there's a whole group of them that are kind of in on it and whatnot. It's not quite working for me, but again, 4 episodes in, so we'll see. And I wonder, the real, I guess, quote, bad guy in this that's going to could potentially interfere with their reunion and their relationship is the thing we haven't talked about, which is her cancer diagnosis.
Right. And you haven't, like, there's no question in there.
Right. We didn't really talk about that because we couldn't in the spoiler free part, but that's huge because I'm sitting here thinking, like, okay, how are they going to pull this all together? Because it's number one, I was like, oh, maybe it was a misdiagnosis. Or in the beginning, I thought that maybe she was playing it. Like, she found out about the divorce, and so she made that up. And then now we're seeing, you know, we've seen the actual symptoms and things like that. So we're like, okay, it's not a misdiagnosis. It's not something she made up. She really has this. So are they going to fix that? Just wondering. And if they don't, I'm going to be really upset.
Well, like, and the fact that there's only one scientific survey that says there's a chance, where everywhere else is like, nope, 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 acting like the medical community doesn't communicate.
Right.
And, you know, that was just like eye-rolling. Like, well, I found this obscure one who said 51% chance I'm going to win. And it's just like, this feels like an overly the top plot device, but you know.
So I'm hoping that we get a little more from that. Like, I'm hoping that there's a way to kind of, but honestly, I do love this writer, but if you really think about it, what's really pushed her dramas forward is the interactions with the characters and the romance, right? Like the swoony moments and that kind of thing. It really hasn't been the details, because we've had, you know, like in My Love from Another Star, we have, you know, like, it's sort of a happy ending, except
wasn't it
to
a black hole or something?
He has to come and go on the, you know, when the shooting star comes at the right time or whatever.
Doesn't it continue to be more and more time that she gets to spend with him over time? He's able to figure out how to do it easier or something, like
that. Sure, but no, he didn't figure it.
It wasn't on the shooting moon. It was through like a black hole,
right?
And since he's like extremely long living, the time difference was...
It's all going to be fine.
Yeah. But I'm like, however, she's still going to die a lot quicker than you, dude. But oh well,
right.
We'll ignore that.
And we also have Crash Landing on You, where they reunite in Europe, you know, right. Like,
2 weeks out of every year. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm still kind of like, that's not exactly a happy ending, friends. So we'll see. We'll see how this goes. But
yeah,
I did just want to make sure we mention that, because to me, that is sort of like the real bad guy of this, right. Is that, like, they are up against, you know, a terminal illness. So I really hope that, I hope they figure that out, because I don't want to fall in love with this couple and then be heartbroken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair. No, she'll just be stuck in the hospital.
It's not magical.
Maybe someone's just drugging her so she loses time, and that's how and they're paying off the doctor.
Well, I mean, she is starting to, like, you know, care about things and people. One of the things that is hard for me when it comes to this trope is that whether they're saved or not, most of the time, whatever treatment or the leading up to when they might be dead, like, they can't show the reality of what that looks like. And not that we want to see, like, somebody who's going through, like, cancer treatments and all that kind of stuff, but it's always just this weird depiction of what something like that toward the end of, you know, for treatment and all that is like, and it just makes it to where it's just hard to, and you know, when they give them the, like, you have, what is it, 3 months or whatever,
30 days,
I don't know, 3 months, that, like, that there are definitely people who beat that, but you start out with this, like, no, she's gonna die no matter what kind of prediction, and then you have to work your way out of that. So I don't know, it's not my favorite. I don't think any of us like this trope.
No, it smacks too much of the drama that shall not be named, how they threw that at the end, and now we have it here at the beginning.
you had to go there. You had to go there.
I'm sorry. My brain just brought it up.
Hopefully they won't separate and then make him pretend like he's dead or she's dead. Oh my or goodness. Whatever.
Yes, lessons and, not to learn.
You know, I think it's important. We probably should name that drama just because we have listeners who then
Dodo,
write
so,
to
so,
us.
La, la, like, la, la, la. So.
Dodo, yeah, so, they're, so, they're la, like, la, so.
You know, they're like, what's the drama that can't be named? We're like, I'm sorry, we can't name it.
If we summon it, it will appear and we'll have to live through it again.
Well, now it's in my head for the rest of this drama. I had forgotten.
Sorry.
Well, and for me, like, there's too many bad guys in this. If we think about it, because we've got kind of the shallow bad guy, kind of with the brother-in-law and his money greediness. And then we've got, like, the grandpa's mistress, wife, whatever she is. And I'm not convinced that she's not poisoning him. Just very slowly, you know. And then we have the mom who's suing her own daughter. And then we've got this little cable of people who are trying to take down Queen Group. And then we've got the psychopath wannabe boyfriend, even though she's married. Like, there's too many of them. And they're all plotting, and it's kind of a lot. So, I don't know. I cannot see where this is going, because throwing in that little conspiracy group at the end of four, I'm just like, seriously? One more plot against this family, against these people? How are we supposed to track this all? So,
pretty much the second he hooked up with the stupid matchmaker lady, I'm all like, oh, you just lost intelligent points. Mm-hmm. For me, because she is such a dumb character. She's and like, no well, one that's smart would add her to their League of Evil, you know.
Well, she'll probably get kicked out and then like try to take her revenge or something.
Yeah,
but anyway,
but anyway, yeah, so it's a dud for me. So would we recommend this drama, and what did we rate it out of 10 points? And that's the first four episodes. I wouldn't say the whole drama, because there's a lot of drama to go. It could get better. It could go off the rails. It could rival the show that cannot be named, since we brought it up and now we're cursed. I would say a 7 out of 10, and the 7 is all because of the dialogue and the OTP for me. So I would say, if there's nothing else that you're watching, definitely give it a try, and it maybe give it a binge watch in a couple of weeks when a few more episodes have been aired. That's my opinion. Okay.
So, I, you know, we've talked through it, and it makes it sound like, you know, oh, I don't know. But we are 4 episodes in. If we were 1 episode in, I was intrigued, but I wouldn't have been like, oh yeah, go watch this. We're 4 episodes in, and there's enough here, enough potential with this couple, that even though we've said all these things that where I'm like, actually kind of sounds like we don't really love this that much, I can't stop. First of all, I will watch to the end just to see Kim Soo Hyun on my screen. But I love like the potential here. And so I can't yet recommend it, because I want to see where it goes. But I'm absolutely planning on getting off our podcast and going and watching episode 5. It's like the first thing I'm going to do. So I think that I'm still super intrigued and just love him. And I think they have so much potential. So I can't give it a point number, because we're only 4 episodes in. But, and I actually don't give it points anyway.
I was going to say.
But I know that's not my thing. But I would say, okay, hold on. Just let us watch a little more, and then we'll tell you. Then I'll say yes or no. Because it, like you said, it could go completely off the rails. Or maybe we're going to pull this together, and we're going to have a really amazing a bit of chemistry. So 4 episodes in, I'm watching it.
Okay. For me, I'm on the fence. I don't know if I'm going to stick with it or not. And a large part of that is just due to the bloated episodes. Because, like, I found myself able to fast forward through some things and feel like I haven't missed a bit of plot. So that kind of works against it, because my schedule is tighter. And I've got other dramas that I'm trying to watch. So this is actually lower on the priority list for me. So I cannot say whether or not I would recommend it until I've seen the ending. Just because, given this writer's history with endings, I I may not be satisfied and that may turn me against it. So we'll see. And if I had to rate these first four episodes, I mean, there are moments like when, like in episode four, when Hong Han comes across the couple who's complaining and like humiliating her employee, and she steps in and stops the guy from slapping her employee and just like handles it like a champ. That was pretty awesome. And it took me a hot minute to realize, I think it was at the end of episode one, and it continued in episode two. Like, she may be cold and non-responsive when her husband's around, but she defends him. You know, she'll yell at her family. She's beat up her brother anytime that they've spoken against him or tried to take advantage of him. And so she's there. She loves her husband. She's just not showing him that she loves him. She just is like, I don't know. She's working through this Ice Queen phase or whatever she's going through. And so it's kind of intriguing. And so I'm like seeing these glimpses of her. I mean, the bar is low, but her more caring personality, more warm personality. And so I'm kind of intrigued by that. And I want to see more of that. But I don't know if it's worth putting up with everything else in order to see that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for me, I think that the biggest thing, because I'm not as invested in any of the other characters, it's really going to depend on where they go with this couple. And I feel like that they have a lot of potential to really like rally together and be a good support system for each other. And then I feel like there are potential members of both of their families that could turn around to where I like them. So I don't know if I would recommend it at this point, just because four episodes is a hard, I can recommend you should try it, because mm-hmm. I'm going to keep watching and see where it goes. And the first four episodes, I think, were probably a 7.5 to an 8. For me, this is a reoccurring thing. It wasn't as tight as I would have liked it, but I also, in all of its defense, I feel like all rom-coms for me right now, my general thought when it's over is usually that could have been a really good 12 episodes.
spoiled.
So we have been spoiled with tighter storytelling in 12 episodes that still tells an amazing story with deeper characters. So, or with deep characters, maybe not deeper, but mm-hmm. I do think that we've set up for a big sprawling cast, and it will just depend on if I like where the main couple goes as to whether or not I think this is going to be worth recommending.
Alrighty. Well, thank you for joining us. We'd love to hear what you thought about this episode. And if you've tried Queen of Tears, let us know if you're going to continue with it. You can reach us on Twitter, on Facebook, or on our Patreon page. The links are in our show notes.
We love blogging about Asian dramas, but behind the scenes, we have so much more to say and want to share it with you. And talking is so much faster than typing.